Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens. How we doing today?
My guy, listen, I'm doing great. I think I'm settling into this season. I think I finally have a comfortable chair by the side of this season, and I'm really, really, really beginning to dig it.
Well, you know,
yesterday was a good one talking to Drake, Andy.
Talking to Drake, the QB is happy, we're happy, Ted will be here at 3, he's happy, the Patriots are 9-2, their head coach is happy. We're preparing for a playoff game at Gillette Stadium. Whoa. Like, what's wrong with the world of football? If you're in Patriot Nation, and we know most of you are in Patriot Nation, now you may have wanted to give up your citizenship for a couple years there. Things got a little wonky, weird, less than desirable, but you didn't. You kept it. You're like, you know, this might turn around. There'll be new leadership. And just as it is with every country, there's new leadership. And it's fun to be a resident of Patriot Nation again.
There just had to be a small coup in the middle. Like, you know, there was obviously a bit of a revolutionary fallout with the longtime leader slash dictator. And then the new leadership took over and then they had to be ousted rather quickly. And now in their place, the installation has been nothing short of phenomenal, to a point where, as I shared in our little group email show prep type of jam, you've even got things like the New Yorker magazine writing flattering pieces about how the New England Patriots have turned things around and have become likable.
Well, when you look at Drake May and you listen to Drake May yesterday, and I will say I saw you put this in our show text chain or email chain. Everybody's in love with Drake May. Everybody listened to that interview yesterday and they were like, he seems like a nice guy. He's really good on the field, too. Like, there was just this, like, just joy that people felt from that conversation yesterday. And obviously, from his performances. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had guys on this show done interviews that are nice guys. But if the performance doesn't back up the nice guy, well, we go, yeah, he was a nice guy. I wish he was a good player, too. No. Drake May's both. Drake May is absolutely both, and that's why the Patriots are 9-2. That's why they are sitting in the 2 spot for now via tiebreakers in the American Football Conference. But I wanted to ask you a simple question to lead things off here, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
A simple man who loves simple questions, please.
Are the Patriots the best team in the AFC?
I don't think so yet.
Oh, okay. So therefore, tell me the argument against them being the best team. Who's the best team, and why don't they measure up to said team?
Well, I think I'd have to give it to the Denver Broncos by a whisker. And the only reason is because their offensive line is a tad more veteran, a tad more proven, a tad more infallible. Their defensive line and pass rush, which I believed you referred to yesterday as potentially legendary.
Yep.
It's awesome. It's pretty. Now, you can match corner for corner with Sertan and Gonzalez. I'd say their receiving core commensurate to this one. Now that they've lost Dobbins for a while, if not this season, I believe, you'll have to have rookie R.J. Harvey take over. We could be getting Mondre back. That's a slight edge, Pats. You know, it's very, very even. I'm just going to have to give them, based on the offensive line and their defense, which is a touch healthier than the Patriots now, I'm going to have to give them the edge. But, like, we're talking those kind of technical points where it's like, I got a silver medal because how?
So I believe the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. And I believe that because I don't think the Broncos' offense measures up. I think the offense is limited. I think the you look at the Patriots. Now, to have this discussion, so we've narrowed it down. You think it's the Broncos are the best team in the AFC. The standings agree with you, by the way, because these are the two teams with the best record in the conference, and tiebreaker says Broncos get the tiebreaker. So if the playoffs started today, they would be the number one seed. They wouldn't have to play. But those are the two teams.
Sorry about it. And oh, by the way, no apologies to the Colts. You guys are now. We're all set.
No, yeah, we don't need to apologize. I'm asking you who the best team is. You pick the Broncos, I pick the Patriots.
Yeah.
So you bring up the defense. So the Broncos they've both played 11 games, which is nice. It makes this easy when we compare any kind of numbers or anything. They are on equal footing.
The less math, the better for both of us.
So the point differential for the Patriots is plus 86 on the season. The point differential for the Broncos is plus 65. Okay.
Okay. Advantage New England.
Advantage New England. So you started your argument with the Broncos defense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Points allowed on the season for the Broncos defense, 192. Okay, good number. That is better, I will acknowledge, that is better than the Patriots. 206. Patriots have allowed 206 points. So that's, 14-point difference? So that's equivalent to basically 1 point per game, right? 1 point something.
So we're kind of seeing that things are leveling out, the scale of justice right here, pretty much tip on the fulcrum.
And I have questions about the Broncos offense that has scored 257 points in their 11 games. The Patriots have scored 292 points. So that's 35 more points over those 11 games. So that's a 3 point whatever points per game better offensively. Mm-hmm. And I think the eyeball test is even more than that. When I look at these two teams and look at the quarterback position, Bo Nix certainly has a little it late in games, okay? We're not talking about J.J. McCarthy. We're talking about Bo Nix. Bo Nix has a little it late in games. Mm-hmm. When the defense puts them in position to play a fourth quarter that matters, to have the game on the line, he seems to have the ability to come up with the plays he needs to get in field goal range, do whatever needs to be done for his team to win. I think the Patriots' offense for four quarters is significantly better, and I think it's trending toward better. As you get, we talked about it earlier in the week, yesterday, that would be Monday, Andy. We talked about the evolution of the wide receiver position without Kayshon Booty. Oh, Mac Hollins has taken his opportunities and run with them. Now you kind of have a three-headed monster at the wide receiver position with Booty, Diggs, and Hollins. The running back position is the perfect example. Travion Henderson, they were afraid to play him. Then he scored 5 touchdowns in 5 days. Literally. I believe, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
That is positively correct.
He literally scored 5 touchdowns in 5 days because of the opportunity that was forced upon him due to the injury to Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson is coming back. Kayshon Booty's coming back. The Patriots' offense is getting better. They are relatively healthy. The offensive line has some continuity. I don't think you can win in 2025 with a questionable offense, right? Maybe if you have Mahomes, that might be my one outlier. If you tell me you're going to play defense and you're going to rely on the quarterback and the coach to get it done in the fourth quarter, I think that's the fear everybody has about the Chiefs. If they're in it, if they make the playoffs, that's the kind of game they might play. And with the
awful
game,
big if these days.
Big if. I don't think you can count on Bo Nix to do that. So we're just going to assume Bo Nix is going to make some key play in some key fourth quarter to win in the postseason. So I look at it. I look at the games played. They've played a little bit better schedule. Yes, I get it. But I think the difference between the Patriots offense with Drake May and the Broncos offense with Bo Nix is the difference between these two teams, and give me Drake May every time.
Drake May overall in terms of stats, athletic ability, explosive potential, all of the on-field intangibles and tangibles, greater than sign Bo Nix for sure. However, the fact that Bo Nix has been, you know, back against the wall a couple of times and found ways to, you know, pull the rabbit out of the hat and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat is pretty impressive. And I just can't shake the fact that they went on the road to Philadelphia, a team we spent plenty of time yesterday shining up the shoes of real nice, talking about them being probably the overall number one seed in the NFL, although NFL.com tends to disagree, which was a surprise. And they went on the road in Philadelphia, and they came from behind, and they beat them. And that is like the kind of signature victory that just gives you those extra little, like, if we're looking at the two of them, say, like, all right, each has this, this has that. They seem commensurate in terms of overall accomplishment and excellence so far this year. It's just a tiny bit edge Broncos. I also might be guilty of not wanting to put the Patriots on top for maybe just like a little reverse jinx and or safety.
617-779-7937. We are starting off with a simple question. Are the Patriots, yes, it's okay to ask this question. It's okay to acknowledge how good they are. You've watched football. You've seen the Ravens. You've seen the Bills. You've seen the injuries. You've seen Mahomes. They can't win close games with Patrick Mahomes. It's okay to ask if your New England Patriots under Mike Vrabel and the direction of Drake May are the best team in the AFC right now with their 9-2 record. 617-779-7937 if you want to call or text to join the conversation. Before we flip the script, Fitzy, and we're going to flip the script, I'm going to ask you to say why the Patriots are actually the best team in the AFC, and then I'm going to try to poke holes in my own argument and say why the Patriots actually aren't. Make the argument for and against your New England Patriots as the best team in the AFC. But we do this every Tuesday around this time. We got our Week 12 power ranking recap, Fitzy. And it's not going to be surprising that, there's a lot of top fives here. There's a lot of top couple, two spots. I think it might be surprising, though, that there are a few that still think the Patriots are not a top five NFL team. So let's start with the bad ones. You know, the Ringer still says the Patriots are the eighth best team in the NFL.
I'm telling you, the hate is real from the Philadelphia people. The Ringer just and it's literally Bill Simmons' own. The guy can't buff him up enough, and yet still, look at that, eighth overall. I would love to think who in God, I don't even want to guess who they have ahead of the Patriots.
My guess is that they utilize the thing that has been a little bit of a doubt for our boy Ted Johnson. DVOA. My guess is the Ringer is a quantitative analysis. They're using numbers more than eyeballs, and that DVOA thing has them scared, and that's why they have them a little bit lower than everybody else. But there's others in that conversation. Yahoo. Yes, Dan Ball?
On the Ringer for Week 12, by the way, good afternoon, boys.
Hi, how are you?
You have Rams, Eagles, Seahawks, Broncos, Colts, Bills, and Lions before the Patriots, with the Chiefs at 9 and the Packers at 10.
You can't have a team that has two more losses than you ahead of you.
Well, you can if you think they're better. Like, if you think they played in, a neutral site. For some reason in my head, that just turned into a Royal Rumble. You just listed those teams, those eight teams, Dan Ball, and I had this vision of like a football version of Royal Rumble if all those teams played in the middle of one ring. Would the Patriots come out on top? And you know what? Not going to lie, it kind of scared me. I don't know if the answer is yes.
And I'll tell you, actually, Dan, could you read them off again one more time, 1-3, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is, once again, Rams, Eagles, Seahawks, then Broncos, so three NFC teams before the Broncos, Colts at 5, Bills at 6, Lions at 7, and Patriots at 8. Just to give you an idea, the four metrics that they have listed, passing offense, rushing offense, passing defense, rushing defense, are all based on EPA per either drop back rush, drop back allowed, or rush allowed. So that's they're basing their analysis here on expected plays and expected outcomes, not the actual outcomes that we're seeing.
Nerd worthy, dare we say. Andy, would it not be a fan? Not a fan at all. Like that means a machine is telling you exactly how these teams would stack up as opposed to people who watch games with their eyes and also have living memories. How would it though, I have to say, how would it feel though if the playoffs were just that kind of seeding, 1-8? Imagine that. Like, if that was it right now, the 1-8, and the Patriots have to go on the road.
We shrunk the postseason?
Yeah, I don't know.
They'll never do it, but if you shrunk the postseason.
Mixed conference postseason.
I love
it. How would that suit you?
Because you know who's getting screwed, Dan Ball? The Seattle Seahawks. They lost to the Rams by 2 points, and now.
And missed
I'm guilty.
A field goal to win the game.
I'm guilty of this, and I'm doing like the old school college football team. Well, you lost. I got to bump you down. Well, yeah, but I lost to the best team by 2 points. I easily could have. Like, I don't know that this is probably accurate. That's one thing I'll give them is they probably could make a strong argument to be the second best team in football. And you can probably argue that the Eagles, the Rams, and the Seahawks have a strong case for the top three teams in football out of the NFC.
By the way, we buried the lead on this. So they also do weekly quarterback rankings. Drake May is ranked 8th on their NFL quarterback.
At least they're consistent.
2025.
Eight.
I think Patriots.
See,
if you want,
I'm telling you, the hate, the disdain is real.
If you want to argue the schedule's been too easy, if you balance out the Patriots' performance with the schedule that they play, whatever. Drake May is the 8th quarterback out of 32. The
Stupid.
Fact that there are 7 guys that you are saying in whatever metric has been better than him this year is an egregious, way worse than ranking the Patriots.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you that having Drake May 8th is more egregious than having the Patriots that low in this situation. Because Drake May, since week one, you know, save for those couple turnovers that were rookie mistakes against the Steelers, has been,
yeah,
and especially if you use the Pete Schrager mindset, interceptions, whatever, turnovers, for, you know, don't worry about that, has been remarkable, has been tremendous, has been light years beyond what anybody, and eighth best in a world where you don't have Joe Burrow, I assume. You know, I don't think you get Joe Burrow just because he's back on the practice field, jumps right back into the top 8 quarterbacks. Like, guys are hurt. Guys aren't playing well. You got Patrick Mahomes throwing, you know, 55% of his passes for completions. You got Josh Allen a couple weeks ago throwing some of the most mind-blowing turnovers. Like, the guys that are supposed to be the core four are not even the core four right now.
So there's the flaw in the system also, guys. Joe Burrow is ranked as the number 7 quarterback on this list.
He's not on
football
the
since
field.
October.
Jesus H. Jiminy Joseph. September. I am not a fan. But let's get back to the power rankings real quick. Yahoo has the Patriots 6. The NFL has the Patriots 6. Then you have all the top 5s. Pro Football Talk and The Athletic have them at 5. Fox Sports, 4. Bleacher Report, 4. ESPN, 4. And then Bucky Brooks staying strong at number 2, where he's been joined by CBS Sports, up 1 from number 3.
Ooh.
So there are a lot of people that believe they are the second best team in football and certainly a top 5 team. Fitzy, I believe they're the best team in the AFC, but I'll make the argument against them. And I think there are a number of factors that you go into. I think first and foremost is just big game experience. Big game experience for everybody involved. The head coach, the quarterback, all the key players, the offensive line, whatever you, the defense, you know, things we've talked about, giving up touchdowns on your first drive is like annoying during the regular season. That's really bad in the postseason. If you're looking up at the scoreboard and looking up at the score, but the sort of that inexperience, the not knowing, even Mike Vrabel, some of these decisions at the end of the second quarter, how he's played things. Okay, you got away with it. You got a little cute. What's going to happen when you and Stretch are chatting, you know, in the divisional round at Gillette Stadium and you're looking across to the other sideline and all of a sudden Andy Reid is there and you're freaking out because you don't know what Andy Reid is doing. So the inexperience slash youthfulness of this program, as they would call it at the college level, is probably my biggest concern. I don't know how they're going to be perform in the postseason because I've never seen them perform in the postseason.
They don't even know.
Right.
Yeah. Like, how do you, like, it is a complete unknown. It is a wild variable in the equation. If this is the part where I'm to argue on their behalf, I would like to remind you that they've been able to win the last several weeks despite not having, arguably, their best wide receiver and their best running back, both of whom the coach told us will be returning to the practice field midweek, though listed probably with questionable designations, could very well return to the field on Sunday against a team that is defensively inept, and that is putting it kindly, in the Cincinnati Bengals, which would make for a great tune-up for their next game against a reasonably defensive-minded team against the New York Giants on a Monday night, so you get an extra long week to recover for that. And then, should those players get dinged up, Andy, guess what they get? Another break to get ready for the final stretch, the home stretch, where they have some really meaningful and difficult games against some of those quarterbacks in the top 8.
So, Fitzy, now I need you to argue against your New England Patriots. What is the argument that they are not the best team? Oh, no, you have to argue for, because you already argued. My bad. Confused myself. You have to argue why they are indeed the
best
team.
Who's arguing with who?
That's why it's in my head. It's big. There's a lot bouncing around in there.
Yeah, well, I'll take the cases I just made there, as well as regardless of what people say about, like, you're just a product of your schedule. They have as many wins as any other team in the NFL, and there are still people that believe their defense could play better and that their quarterback is only starting to scratch the surface of his potential. It's not that we've seen peak Drake May yet. As a matter of fact, there are those who believe that Drake May, with the full comportment of his offensive arsenal and more experience, more tape, as the machine learns more, as he gains more experience, will only get better. The offensive line is developing what every offensive line wants. We can talk to Mark Schlereth about this in just a few minutes as well. Continuity. The longer the same five stay out there together, the better they get, the clearer and the more concise their communication gets. The problem that other teams are going to have to deal with, Andy, continuity, intelligence, and momentum. And they're all on the side of the Patriots. Plus, that key bye week mixed in a couple weeks from now to really get them rested up for the December stretch and then playoffs.
617-779-7937. Do you agree with me that the Patriots are indeed right now on November 18th the best team in the American Football Conference? Or do you agree with Fitzy and the tiebreakers? Is it the Denver Broncos, that defense, Sean Payton, the it factor of Bo Nix, a little bit more experienced quarterback, been there, done that? Are the Broncos the best team in the AFC? And what are the arguments in each direction here in New England? 617-779-7937. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, our weekly chat with Mark Schlereth. Interestingly, the guy from Denver will be talking to some guys in New England about football. Maybe he has an opinion on the best team in the AFC. That's up next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
WEEI back here on a Tuesday afternoon, 2:30 WEEI Afternoons. That means we go right to the guest line for our buddy Mark Schlereth. We're joined by the NFL Odyssey Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And our insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are great. You know, we had a nice win on Thursday night, and then we had a little extra time to ourselves on the weekend. So it was a enjoyable weekend. I wanted to start right off with a somewhat simple question, but I want to get your opinion, especially where you played, where you live, who you've watched, all that. Are the Patriots the best team in the AFC, and can you make an argument for and against that assessment?
Yeah, I can make an argument for it. Offensively, I think with the way Drake May is playing, with the deep ball and the quick strike stuff that they're able to do, and they've done it on a consistent basis. It hasn't been like one game here and a game there. It has been consistently throughout the course of the season that Drake May has just been unbelievable, and they have offensively been unbelievable when it comes to explosive plays in the passing game. They have been in my estimation, you know, and I haven't like when you're doing games, you kind of live in a silo, but I haven't seen a team that consistently has that many explosive deep strike balls down the football field. So that part I would make the argument for. I think they always, under Mike Vrabel, will be a great run defense team, you know, and that's always one of the ways you make teams one-dimensional and you've got a chance. You know, I would sit there and say the counterpart would be the Broncos defense is that good. Their ability to get after the quarterback, their ability to create opportunities for sacks, and their man-to-man coverage skills are as good as it gets in this league. And, you know, they shut down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on Sunday, and they did it playing on third downs almost exclusively. 16 third downs, I think I counted. I think I counted 14 man-to-man situations. And I'm talking about third down and long when most teams are like, hey, man, let's just play the sticks, make them drop it up underneath and, you know, and give them the 8 yards, right? And the Broncos just lined up in man-to-man going, we're better than you and we know it. And they're legitimate when it comes to rushing the passer and their coverage skills. And they did not have their starting middle linebacker in Singleton, and they didn't have, you know, arguably the best cornerback in football in Pat Surtain.
All right, I hate to sort of put you to it here as we're comparing Broncos and Patriots because they seem to be the two best teams in the AFC. Could very well be heading towards a showdown this January, but you're starting a team right now. Are you taking Bo Nix or are you taking Drake May stink?
Oh, I think I'd probably go Drake May. I mean, Drake May has been that good throwing the ball. And Bo, it's not a slight on Bo. I mean, Bo has been good, but he has been inconsistent this season, just really inconsistent, especially with the deep ball. And so that's probably where I would go Drake May. And you know, I think both of them are having exceptional seasons, but I think Drake May is just kind of like, he has just taken off this year. I can't remember a guy that I've watched just go from, you know, what he was last year to just like MVP type candidate this year.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, what would happen back in the day if another player spit on you?
We had that incident here when I played in Denver with Bill Romanowski spitting on J.J. Stokes. And,
yep.
And it was one of those situations where we sat down in a meeting room on, I think, Monday with a big team meeting. And, I mean, guys were pissed. We were pissed at Bill. Like, man, that's not something you do. And, you know, and I mean, it was, we had a kind of clear the air team meeting and Bill apologized to, you know, he had apologized to JJ Stokes, but he apologized to the whole football team. And, you know, it was just one of those deals. I was joking around on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. If that would have happened to Aqib Talib would have been suspended for life because he'd have tried to kill him. You know, right. he'd just tried to kill a Jamar Chase. So, you know, there was that aspect of you know, the time when I played and Raves played, that there was a certain level of frontier justice that you just didn't pull stuff like that because you knew you were going to get yours. And, you know, they've tried to take all that stuff out of the game, which I miss. But, that is just, I mean, completely unacceptable. And if they took money away from, from Jalen Ramsey, and now he's not your most innocent guy either, but if they took money away from him, they should give it back to him. They already, you know, kicked him out of that game. They should give him his money back.
So here's one for you. As far as like Drake May having this charm season, you said, the deep ball is so great. He's growing up in front of our eyes and you hadn't remembered seeing somebody make such meteoric leaps in their second season. Do you think he needs to face a little adversity before the postseason? You know what I mean? Like everything seems to be falling in line for him and going his way. Would he benefit from a stumble or a fall or something where he can learn a little bit more before he gets to, you know, single elimination?
It's always, you know, sometimes those things are always good, you know, just to walk out and just get it handed to you. Sometimes is the best lesson you learn in those situations. I always say when things are going really well, you get coached, but sometimes you don't receive the message as strongly as you need to. And, you know, I was on a team that went 11-0 in Washington before they lost their first game. I was on a team that went 13-0 in Denver and before we lost our first game. And when you're having that kind of streak, you know, the coach will say, hey, man, we play a good team. We're not going to get away with this mistake and we're not going to get away with this. And then you just keep getting away with those mistakes and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, okay, okay. And then all of a sudden it hits you. And you'd much rather have it hit you in the regular season than, you know, going, what, 18-0 before you got to the Super Bowl and losing that one?
Yep.
You know, and so there is that aspect of, I'd rather learn that valuable lesson. And I tend to learn that lesson a little bit better after a good old fashioned ass whooping, you know. So every now and again, those things are good for you as just an overall football team.
Mark, it's sort of accepted around here because it was beaten in our heads over the years by Belichick and Brady that the regular season doesn't really start until Thanksgiving, and then the real season doesn't really start till the postseason. Is there actually an elevation in play, competition level, whatever, after Thanksgiving as you get in December? And does it go to the next level then again in January? Is that a real thing that Drake May and the young Patriots will have to deal with?
Yeah, I think that after Thanksgiving, there's just a heightened awareness. And then the other thing is, depending upon where you are, how do you handle the end of the season when you've got things locked up and all of a sudden the games, you know, don't, like, a loss isn't gonna crush you from, you know, your seeding or whatever. And so then you have to start managing that and figuring out how you can't rest everybody, you know, how many guys play, how many guys don't, all that kind of stuff. So there's just a different, you know, there's just a different feel after Thanksgiving because, the end of the season is near and the playoffs are going to begin. So, yeah, and then when you get into the playoffs, it ratchets up just because everybody's good and it's win or go home. So all that, you know, all that stuff is true. It was true, you know, throughout my NFL journey. So, yeah, for sure that's true.
Seems like, you know, we've brought his name up a number of times in these Tuesday chats with you, Stink, but it bears mentioning again. Will Campbell is obviously asserting himself, making his presence felt on the line, and having a, you know, by all accounts, very good year. But also, he's really forging a bond with Drake May. It looks like they're becoming, you know, he's his bodyguard, his protector. They're becoming best buddies out there, and Drake has spoken to that to a degree with us as well. How important is that, you know, offensive line and quarterback bond to trying to achieve that common goal together?
Well, I don't know that, you know, whether you get best buddies with that guy or not, I don't think that really matters. I think it's just the mentality of offensive linemen is, you know, we're in this thing. We're a team within a team. We're in this thing together. And, you know, and you just don't ever want to get your quarterback hit. You don't ever want to get your quarterback sacked. You just, like, that protection role is so strong, and, you know, it's how we're measured. And so those are the things that, like, it doesn't even matter if you don't like the guy. It is such a part of how things are ingrained in playing that position. And playing that position, unlike a lot of positions in professional sports, regardless of what the sport is, that is, you know, the only position where your back is to the ball. It's always to the ball. And there's such a level of trust and a level of commitment and a level of togetherness in that position that I don't think exists anywhere else. And it's just a weird, and it's just a weird brotherhood. Like I say, the most beautiful place in the world is being in that meeting on Monday and watching, no finger pointing, all thumb pulling, guys jumping on, you know, on the hand grenade, so to speak, like guys begging for the responsibility of bad things. Like for instance, I could give up a sack and my left tackle would be like, no, I give me that sack. I want that. I should have used a drag hand. I kicked out too fast. That's mine. I was supposed to have body presence. And the center would be, you know, scrambling over the table to choke somebody going, no, man, I was supposed to get over there. I got hung up on the nose guard. We had slide that way. You know, that's my fault. And I'd be going, no, you know, up both of yours. I'm the dumbass that gave up the sack, you know. And the guy's fighting to take the responsibility of a bad thing that happened. And I don't think that exists in any other room. Like that, it's just such an inherent part of playing that position. And I just think it's why it's just the greatest, like the greatest team within the team. It's just the greatest position in all of football and why those guys are so loyal and you know, and so connected.
Mark, before we let you go, I wanted to get your opinion on Joe Burrow. Obviously, he's not going to play this week for the Patriots-Bengals game, but when he's on the field, he's clearly one of the top two or three, four best quarterbacks in football, but being on the field has been an issue. We had a texter that said it's starting to make him one of the biggest busts in modern sports because Joe Burrow can't stay on the field. What are your thoughts on Joe Burrow and his health?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow is, I agree with you guys, one of the great quarterbacks I've witnessed that I've got to watch. And it's a shame that he's hurt all the time. But that's not a Joe Burrow issue. That is a Cincinnati Bengals coaching issue. You make him play off the high dive 24/7. And that dude just sits in gun the entirety of the play or the entirety of the game. They invest in, and this is just another just pet peeve of mine. Let's just invest in receivers, and we're going to win playing that game. You'll never win. You guys, like in New England, what did you invest in right off the bat? You invested in Campbell. You invested in a guy that can protect your quarterback. You invested in a guy that sets the tone. Like, my favorite thing about him, watching him, is legitimately trying to kick somebody's ass. Forget about just being good. Like, hey, is he technically sound? Yeah, he is. But what I love is I just like to watch him finish. He's out there, not literally trying to hurt people, but he's trying to hurt people. Like, and I appreciate that physicality and that nastiness that he plays with. That's what the Cincinnati Bengals don't understand. They put their quarterback out there. They hang him out to dry and let him get the little bit snot beat out of him all the time. And then they wonder why he's hurt. Like, that guy has taken them to a Super Bowl and got them through an AFC championship game where he got sacked 9 times in the game. 9 times in the game. I played for the Washington Redskins in 1991. Through 19 games in a world championship, we gave up 9 sacks on the season.
Wow. Damn.
9 sacks in a game. It's insane. And then we're going to play Joe Burrow? you can kiss my ass. Joe Burrow.
All right, that seems like a
Bengals.
Good... We'll end it on kissing your ass, Mark Schlereth. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, where I'm guessing he will tell you to kiss his ass on occasion on the podcast as well. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, I do want to react to a couple things that Mark Schlereth said, but we also need to get into these Bruins. They're banged up. And now they're losing. Oh, sad face. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
See you, Stink.
Banged up Bruins lose 3-1 to Carolina. And now they're getting on a plane to head out west. They'll play Anaheim on a little west coast trip here. And they're banged up. We all saw the other day when McAvoy took a puck to the face. It was pretty gruesome. Mm-hmm. Pretty gruesome. Pretty sure if I saw what I thought I saw, those were teeth flying out his mouth as the puck hit his face.
As they like to say, spitting chiclets?
Oh, yeah. But looks like he's going to miss some time here. I think I saw that my guy Marco Sturm said surgery could still be a possibility, Dan Ball. But that's not the only injury. Lindholm's been out. You're a little banged up. Like, there's – and a team that is not overly deep, Fitzy, not overly talented, is now dealing with some key players who are out of the lineup. They lose a game, and, we were all hot and bothered and getting ahead of ourselves with how good this team is. Are injuries becoming a concern, Fitzy?
They should be, considering what a narrow margin these Bruins were riding in the first place. I mean, everyone knew they weren't Carolina Hurricanes good, so I guess in a way that made that game a good test for them, and they found out, like, oh, well, we didn't get blown out, but we got beat. And they reminded us that they're the class of the division, if not the conference, for a reason. So, okay. Good to actually kind of know. Sometimes it's good, you know, just go back to the interview with Stink. Like, sometimes it's good to take a loss and know where you stand and find ways to teach it up and improve from it. Because, I mean, we come on, Andy. As much fun as it's been, you know, talking about the toughness of Zadorov and all the defenses back and Swayman, top five goalie. And, you know, my guy, the magic of Marco Sturm. Come on, we all know that they're not like a two wins for every one loss type of team, right?
Yeah, no, I will say, though, Swayman is playing well. I thought he played relatively well last night, and it was essentially a 3-0 loss. He had a garbage time goal late to make it 3-1, make it look a little better, I guess, on the scoreboard. Arvidsson, Mittelstadt on IR. It's always good when you say Lindholm is skating again. Oh, that's good, because it's the sport of hockey, so skating again is important for him to get back to doing his job. This is going to be a test. You know, you're outmanned. You brought a couple guys up from Providence. And, you know, I was listening to Swayman, and he said something to the effect of, you know, we're gonna put guys out there that are NHL quality talent. And I was like, oh, is that what we're saying? Like, your guys are, they belong in the league. That's good to know, because they're in the league and they're playing in front of you. But, you know, I think he's trying to do his best to sort of say the right things as, you know, a quasi-leader on this team and a guy that is starting to play better. But this is going to be a tough stretch for Marco Sturm, because you're going to be undermanned. And the one thing I will also say, big fan of Zadorov. You know that. I love the physicality he brings to his games. But he really does pile up the penalties. That guy spends some time in the penalty box. I believe he leads the NHL in minor penalties at this point in the season. So, you know, when you're a team that is probably not going to score a ton of goals, you kind of keep track of how many times you're killing penalties, and Zadorov is a key part of that at times.
Well, you also have to kind of send a message like, hey, listen, we're not going to get involved in some elite shootouts with you, but if you think you're going to come to this house and win, or if you're going to invite us to yours and walk away with it or skate away with an easy dub, no, you're going to pay for it. And eventually that may yield some hard fought wins down the road, because teams will remember, like, oh, the Bruins are coming. Yeah, they're not super talented, but, man, we always feel these losses against them. So that's good. We also talked, when we talked to Razor last week, we talked about how this was like a tough stretch, you know, Senators and Canadians and Hurricanes, Ducks, and, you know, I think he was hoping to get 3 or 4 points. So you get one win so far, and now you fly across the country, you take on the Ducks, you owe them one. If you can get a tie, maybe an overtime win, or pull out a dub in that one, then that's a good, successful 4-game stretch that they had there.
401 chimes in with a positive Bruins text that I'll lead us into break with. Hart, it's a gutsy, never-give-up team. If you watched the game last night, Carolina is much faster, much more talented. The Bruins are just a tough, never-give-up team, the kind of team we love but won't win a ship. That's right. You're not going to win a championship with this team, but I agree. I think the Bruins have been very entertaining. They're very competitive. They're fun to watch. They're giving you the best they have. Where that leads them, we'll find out. 617-779-7937. If you want to join the conversation on the Bruins or talking some Patriots. Yes, are the Patriots the best team in the AFC? Maybe we'll ask Ted Johnson that, because he's here. He's up next, as are our three-point stances here at 3 o'clock. And Fitzy seems like he's getting a little perturbed, like he's working his fingers on the desk. Red Sox? Hello, Red Sox. Free agency has started. What are we waiting for? That's up next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.